Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
What's up, people?
You're locked into the
2 Pro One Slow podcast. Brought to you by KexUnderwear.com. The best underwear in the action sport game.
We get going?
Good start now, Ed.
Right, welcome back. Episode 27. We've got Nathan Watson at long last. We've only been trying for a year or so. We've had your brother.
Probably more.
Yeah. You've been a requested guest.
I know. It's been a long time coming, hasn't it? Mm. Spoke about it a lot.
We planned quite a bit and say we're going to do quite a bit. Then not actually, you don't usually do much because we're all quite busy. So that's
Bill's excuses out the way.
Common theme of why nothing gets done. But we're here now at long last.
Yeah, there's plenty of questions I put up for you, but probably better off just starting with the most recent thing because you've just finished the ISDE and won it with your team.
Yeah, that was unreal week. Completely unexpected, to be fair, because at the last two world rounds I got tendonitis, so yeah, just struggling, couldn't really ride properly.
Is that the same time you've had that before, haven't you?
Yeah, I've had it like three times, it's a nightmare. But I had like a little infection here in my finger, so I think I was like compensating with the other side and taking antibiotics, and apparently some antibiotics can like damage your tendons or something, so that flared up, so I didn't ride. When I finished the last day in Hungary, the last world round, I didn't ride until I started the 6 days on the Monday morning.
Well, how long was the gap?
I think it was 3 weeks or something.
Oh, wow.
I think we might have got a bit ahead of ourselves. Should we explain what the ISD is for those motocross listeners?
Yeah, well, Tommy's not on it this week, so we've probably lost all the motocross
That's
listeners.
That's probably true.
Yeah.
If you are listening, thinking, what the hell are these lot on about? The ISD is the International 6 Days Enduro, which is obviously a 6 days race, which happens like once a year. Kind of like the equivalent of our motocross of nations. So each country sends a five-man team, a five-man men's team, three-man women's,
three-man
junior.
Three junior, and then if you want to do like a club team.
And you can, you can have club teams and stuff, but obviously the main trophy is the team event, which Great Britain won the men's and the women's class together, and it was the first time they'd won in
since 1953. Go on,
fucking hell,
69 years. Yeah, mad. It's hard to believe because we've always had like,
yeah, we've always had such good riders. And I would say, like, if you look at like Enduro GP's overall champions for the last 20 years, we've probably had the majority of them. But I guess part of it is obviously having a five-man team, and five guys getting to the finish. Because how does it work? Do you drop the worst test?
No, you used to be able to have four riders, and every day I think
you dropped the worst result. That doesn't happen anymore.
But this time, four riders every day, everyone counts.
Five riders.
Four riders.
There's only four riders on a team.
Four riders.
I thought there's five riders on a team.
Jamie and Steve. Yeah, four riders.
Ah.
So.
Okay. Did it used to be five?
It used to be six.
Oh, who can help?
But the last like 3, 4, 5 years or something, it's,
I guess, four. Yeah, because obviously
trying to get six riders together is pretty hard.
Yeah, right? And also similar to the motocross of nations, it's kind of in the middle of the season, well, more towards the end, but there's still races to do afterwards. So those guys that are heavily involved in a championship fight might not be so keen on risking injury, blah, 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 which I think's a load of shite and a pathetic excuse.
Yeah, me too.
Which Nathan obviously does too, because he's also in the hunt for an overall championship this year, which I'm sure we'll get into. But that pretty poorly sums up the 6 days. I think it's not, I'm sure you can YouTube it or Google it to find out a bit more.
It's not the same as your style of racing, is it? It's not hard
enduro. No, so it's classic enduro. Those that don't know Nathan, he just classic enduro. He's had a little dabble.
Nathan does everything. That's Nathan the most popular questions.
People still get so mixed up. Like,
yeah.
So do you still race Billy Bolt and like Johnny Walker and that? I'm like, no.
It's obviously classic enduro. Anyone that's watched the film On Any Sunday, which is a bit of a throwback, but there's a segment in there, and it's like I don't know how long it's been going for, but as an event itself, it's been going for a long time. Oh, yeah. And what's so? Do you still get like a gold medal if you finish a certain percentage behind the winner? Does that still exist as well?
You get a medal, yeah.
So you have like gold, silver, bronze medal. I think it goes off how much time you are behind the overall winner. And it is kind of a little, quite a prestigious event to win, like as an individual overall as well each year. Which there's Garcia won that the last 2 years.
Yeah. Slow bugger.
So that's, roughly sums it up. So it's a team event. Nathan was obviously part of Team Great Britain.
I just saw a video of you coming down some off-camber hill section.
That was the last day of Enduro as well. Like, obviously, we'd done 4 days. We're leading it. So the fifth day, we're all just like riding so careful because anything, it, like...
Did you have any crashes all week?
Once on the last day. That same day. Not in that test, but a different test to crash. Just rode like an idiot on that last day because I was just stressing. Like, because if something happened, if you lost that, like, if you crashed and, I don't know, broke a chain or something, that's it, game over.
But you don't ride... You only set off as a team on the first day, right? So you don't also know how the other teammates and, well, I guess you've got the times after each test, but like if you're kind of first man for the team, you kind of don't really know.
And there's so much like, there's so little time. For some reason, they just give you a little time. So like in the checks, you had like 5 minutes. So I didn't see any times all day. So I was getting to the end of the day and I was like, oh, how did everyone do? Everyone all right? Everyone in one piece sort of thing.
Yeah, so they're quite long days. Like most, I was surprised. The two Enduro GPs I've done the last 2 years, so I guess 6 days isn't much different. Like they're, you think it's a long day, but okay, you've got this many checkpoints or this much stopping or whatever. But like the two Italian rounds I've done in the last 2 years are like such flat out days. You've got literally 5 minutes each time you go back to the chuck, and by the time you've took your helmet off, had a drink, like it's time to go again, and you're like that for like literally 7 hours. So if you're doing that 6 days in a row, I think it's a lot gnarlier than it looks from the outside when you just kind of see videos of you riding flat out around a grass field. And
how close was it to second?
I think we was like going into the last motocross was 4 minutes 20 up,
right?
So which was
so the final days of motocross race, where is it 20 at a time go?
Top 30 overall on the gate.
And then you just, so, but it doesn't, positions don't really matter. It's just your time to
just
do the whole
time,
the whole thing.
So when the gate drops, time starts.
So
and then
there's rarely an upset on the last day.
Yeah, but still, 4 minutes is like you said, you only got to have one.
One person DNF and then.
Yeah,
then
get stuck in the barriers, get something in the back wheel or whatever.
All Americans went through the tape on the first corner. Have you seen that video?
No, I haven't seen it.
Oh, it's brilliant. Just there's three Americans coming in for a whole shot in the first corner and just skittle themselves through the barriers, clean a load of photographers out. Like,
I was wondering if they'd pump the brakes up from changing the tyres or something. Like, it was that out of control.
Fucking
what were they doing?
That's probably a good thing to mention. So all bike work has to be done by yourself all week.
Yeah. You get 15 minutes at the end of the day to do front, rear tyre, filter, whatever he's doing, because the mechanics can't touch the bike.
So if you've done something drastic to your bike,
you got to fix it.
Fuck.
And you get
for
like your
for 6 days,
marked.
You'll be fucked.
No, I'd be fine. Tommy would be completely fucked.
You'd run out of your gear, but you'd need one 15 minutes to straighten your bike up at the end of the day.
Yeah, well, I would need a lot of time straightening it. That video we did with Tommy, it took him 12 and a half minutes with your assistance to change one rear wheel.
This year was really hard. Like, they were like 8 hour days, and the transfer was quite extreme, like, because normally 6 days, because there's so many club riders, like steady riders, they normally make it quite easy. But this year it was
tricky.
Yeah,
it was in France this year.
Yeah,
when you say you can only do your own bike, can your team help you? So could all four of you do like your bike?
I should know this, but I can't remember if they can. I don't think they can. No,
so it's literally do it yourself.
Yeah
But also after the first day you start in your running order rather than your team. So like,
if you've had a good day, you're up front.
Yeah, and your teammate, so like, you're not going to be starting the service point at the same time. So your teammate might only have 5 minutes left, and he's when you arrive, if you know what I mean, and he's still busy changing his oil or filter. Because you do both tyres in a filter each day at least, and then the oil wants to do.
So to win that, is that considered FIM status world champion?
I think so.
Yeah. You get a medal, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, you've been Monaco.
Yeah, I don't know if it's Monaco. But you get an FIM gold.
Go a year and collect a few. You've still not been collect any.
I've got three to collect this year.
It's close as I've got to one anyway. But.
No, it's pretty cool. That video when you all come across the line was mint at the end.
Yeah, it's sick.
Because it was such a long... Like, I got there. The race started on Monday. I got there on the Saturday before.
And you're together for the whole time, just walking tests.
So I started walking Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
How many...
started race Monday.
How many kilometres or miles or steps each day?
It was like 25, 30k per day.
Do you remember it though or not?
He does.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you can remember like pretty much where you've been and what you've done.
Stand there like this going...
I could... There was 13 tests and I could pretty much remember them all. Like, not... perfect, but
yeah, you sort know, of knew
more or less, yeah. Wow. And but that's so important because there's five tests per day at the 6 days. Like normally at a world championship, there's nine tests, so and only three tests, and you do them three times. So you learn them, but here you get one shot at them.
So one go.
So they weren't even using the same test for multiple days, or was it like last one of each day or something the same?
No, one and two is the same. So you do one and two, one test per day. No, yeah, five tests once per day, twice.
Yeah.
So day one, day two, and then day three, day four is the same with new tests, and then day five's completely new tests again.
Wow. There's plenty of shit to remember.
It's
then.
A big job.
Big job on.
For a lot of walking. That's it's graft.
And we rode 1,300 kilometres on the bike in the 5 days.
Fuck.
Mad.
That is. It's mad. Pretty mad, isn't it?
I hope it was somewhat done it justice good. There, to be fair.
Yeah. It wasn't...
I can imagine when it goes well, it's an amazing week. But yeah. When it goes wrong, it's a fucking terrible week.
If you crash to something first day, like I've done it in the past, because you start, normally you start the winner from the year before, E1. So say Spain, Italy, whatever. It'd be Spain E1, Italy E1, and then E2. But this year was the first time they started all Spain, all Italy was first, then all Spain. So we were all together, all four of us starting together. So that was mint. But normally you could start behind. So if you won it, but you was in a class like further back, you'd start behind the loser of the class in front. So you'd be in the dust and you only get 20 seconds. So the first day is real sketchy with dust. And yeah, if you crashed first day, it'd be a long, long 6 days.
Well, fair play for winning it. That's pretty impressive. So all of you done all right. Did anyone else crash?
We all stay pretty consistent. Like,
where did you end up overall?
I was third.
Garcia,
Verona.
Verona, yeah. Second, yeah.
Steve, fourth. So I think we had three in the top ten. Jamie was seventh, I think. So, yeah, everyone rode good.
Not getting the call-up next year, Bill?
I have had the call-up before. There's twice I've been meant to do it. The first year was the year I had surgery on my nerve, so I didn't do it.
Do you think Bill has got it in him to fucking stay on the bike for 6 days?
Nah, it's remembering the tests would be the hard part.
Yeah.
Rather than the staying on the bike.
I've seen you. I've seen you at Super... What's it called? The Superman in the Italian round.
Yeah,
that was silly.
In the Super test.
That's kind of on two-stroke. If I was on a 450, that wouldn't have happened. I would definitely like to do it at some point in... Yeah, and I was going to say probably a few times. I would like to do it. I think I could do pretty well at it. The week of walking would be considerably harder for me, I think, than the riding. But I did get to the point at one stage when I was doing a bit more of that, where I was like slowly figuring out how to remember tests. And like when Nathan used to hang out with us, and we used to go and do like Le Tref, the French classic race and stuff like that, I was kind of figuring it out, what I needed to be remembering, and like, because you don't remember like every blade of grass or like every single centimeter looks like, but you remember kind of how one corner flows into the next, and like you'll open a few corners and then you'll remember like a one which you've got to cut, or one which where like there's over, it's like a blind rise and you know you've got to stay left on the other side of it. Like you slowly figure out what you need to remember and what's useful, and I guess also everybody is slightly different of what is useful to them. So I just need to practice, and I've kind of been out of sync with the classic enduro for a bit.
It's definitely an experience thing, like remembering the tests, you just got to just keep doing them. Like I've got so much better from when I started. Just, you know, I was the same. When I first started doing enduro, I didn't have a clue where I was going. But then the more you do it, the better you get at memorising it. It's weird.
I remember you came and rode it, didn't you, midway through summer, and you said you was off to another one to go and walk for fucking 5 days.
Yeah.
Well, most of, so like a more enduro GP walk. You start more. Walking from Wednesday morning, right?
Yeah, we get there Tuesday afternoon, Tuesday night, start Wednesday. Walk Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
And they're walking three times each in a jiu-jitsu, minimum.
Yeah, that's mad, isn't it?
And that one
I did... Normally four times.
That one I did was 9 miles or something, 9 kilometres to walk.
Yeah, see, that just doesn't
that one test
appeal to me.
There was four of them that day.
Did you give up walking?
I didn't walk the long one.
You arrived like Thursday or Friday. Well,
I only decided to do it on Thursday. Oh,
this is the one recently on the two-stroke.
Yeah, that wasn't... The one in Italy the year before, I could...
This is Roxy's
remember.
Holiday, wasn't it? When you took her on holiday for the week.
We said I would go on holiday and then decided to go into Andrew GP. But, it is good. I do really enjoy it because it's all quite new and, there's a lot for us to learn. I do really enjoy figuring it out and trying to get better at it. So I will do more of it when I'm uninjured and more capable.
The questions I put up on here are all, I'm pretty sure you could guess the majority of them.
Well, because you mentioned before, when you first started enduro, so we'll jump back to that point.
Well, yeah, that's...
Of his first
That's
stint.
The main thing, because you've done so much stuff. They're all asking motocross, enduro, MXON.
So I remember...
Let's do it. Let's tick off enduro first. So the first...
Well, no, it was technically motocross first.
All right, let's go right back to the start then. Do it in order. So you started racing motocross, and then you ended up in the MXGP class. First time I semi-remember you was Husqvarna.
Yeah, so I was racing my first year of 450 British Championship for Matt Hutchins, Dan Tech, and Todd Waters got injured for Ice One, and everyone was like, oh, you should just message him, because it was like, no, I was Red Bull on a Husqvarna, so I just fit.
Good set up, that, innit?
Yeah. Yeah, they were the days. And, so spoke to Ante, and he was like, yeah, perfect. Come and do a few races. So I was buzzing. Did a few races, showed a bit of speed, and he gave me a contract for the year after. It was mad, really, how it all happened. So then, I got a full MXGP contract for 2015.
Straight into 450s. No MXGP, MX2 or nothing.
No. No, I did the odd race.
And how old were you then?
21 or something.
Straight in with the big boys.
Yeah, you was doing well as well, innit? I remember.
Yeah, I was one of them, I was real fast practicing.
like a Tommy.
Yeah, real fast practicing. And then I was always good in time qualifying and stuff. And then I was just shocking at the start.
Yeah.
And I was a bit of a faggot on the first few laps. even if I got an all right start, I'd somehow end up at the back. So I just wasn't aggressive enough. Obviously, I was quite young and not much experience. So I was a little bit too nice, sort of thing. And but
Tommy moved up then. Was he?
Yeah, Tommy was KTM that year, 350.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, and then he hurt himself.
He crashed in Thailand.
Did he spanned himself?
And then I crashed I crashed at the first race, knocked myself out. Great start to the year. And then started going back quite good. And then just before the first European GP, the week before, I did an ADAC for some race training and just overjumped this jump and broke my wrist.
Right.
So then I missed a load of races. But then I came back at the end of the year and started to go good again. Won a few Dutch Championship ADACs and stuff. And then nobody realises, but they actually wanted to sign me for the year after. So Ante wanted to sign me for 2016. But I'd already done this enduro test and kind of decided on that.
And that was when you went to KTM.
How did that come about then? Where did...
It was mad. It was 2014, after I raced one of the filling races in Finland. Ante had organised an enduro safari, they call it, for all the sponsors on the day after, on the Monday after the GP. And I'd never done any proper enduro at that point. I'd done a few British fast eddies and beach race and stuff, but this was my first time properly on a full enduro bike in the woods, and was just did a full trail ride day. And Robert Jonas was following me through the woods, and he said, "You're quite good at enduro." I was like, "All right, sound." Thought nothing of it, because I was always like, "Oh yeah, nah, I'm not doing enduro stuff like that." I'm a motocrosser. Jamie, and I knew a few people in enduro, and they were saying, "Come and do enduro," and I was like, "Nah, stuff like that." And then during that 2015 season, when I was deciding what to do for the year after, Robert Jonas called me and said, do you want to do a test on an enduro bike? Like a proper test with Factory KTM. I was like, yeah, why not?
Did Antti know you went and did this? Did you tell anybody?
Can't remember. I think I did tell Antti.
Say two answers, yes and no. And when we find out, I'll cut the podcast.
Yeah. No, I think because I was riding, the first year I rode for Antti, I was riding for nothing. It was just like an opportunity. So we were just like mates. He didn't put any pressure on me.
Yeah.
And he was trying to help me for 2016 because he said, originally, you ain't got a ride. And then at the end of this season, he changed his mind and wanted to sign me. But this was before that. And went to Mayo's house for this test. And he'd won the World Championship 2015 or something. And then he started to do his Dakar stuff. And yeah, tried a 250 enduro bike and a 350 enduro bike at his house and just had like a few tests and was doing lap times against Mayo. And I started to beat him on some of his own tests. So yeah, that was it. They just offered me a contract, like a paid contract for the year after. No, it was a 2-year deal. It was 16 and 17. And then that was it.
So 16 was what type of enduro?
So that was classic, like, yeah. Enduro GP, what I'm doing.
I remember it was at the dirt bike show all got announced that year, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Trials Bilken, remember that from back in the day.
This is before you'd even turned pro.
Yeah, no, it was end of 15, that's right, because I was doing trials demos. So cool. at the dirt bike show, and obviously.
With a hangover.
Yeah, well, a significant hangover. And yeah, it was just obviously like one afternoon or whatever, just the way everyone kind of talked to everybody and just like, oh, we're going here tonight, blah, blah, blah. It was just like, oh, Nathan's riding enduro next year, and it just scattered around the trials demonstration hall. And then you were there to announce it, weren't you?
Yeah.
And I remember, yeah.
So 16, 17 was classic enduro both times?
Yeah, enduro GP.
And how did you go in them years?
So my first year in enduro, like normally, when people move into it, they go into the juniors, but they put me straight into the E1, which is like 250 F class. And I had a good year, like finished second.
Who won that year?
Remez. And I finished 9 points behind him, so it was close. He had a DNF, like he deserved to win it, but it was good. It was like quite good for my first year. And then the year after, it went to two classes. It was when they tried to do like MXGP.
That was the year that... And it was a Greece. I don't know if anyone's seen that story the other day where I nearly died.
That was bad. That was.
That I would like to go back. Yeah, I would like to go back and do that test again, though. It was a sick test. If I knew what I was doing, I think I would have actually enjoyed it. But I didn't even actually want to be there. I kind of got told I had to go because Charlier was injured.
Yeah, yeah.
And
it was like a motocross track. That was that test.
Yeah, that test was the cross test and the enduro test that week. Well, that's actually really good, but that was the same. They were like 11 minutes long. I arrived late on the Thursday afternoon, didn't know where I was going, and at that point, really didn't know what I was doing. I was a danger to myself and others.
That's bad, that bit.
But yeah, it was two classes that year. It was just E1 and E2.
Yeah, and I was on a 350, so I was enduro GP.
On a 350, though.
And I had tendonitis that year, at the start of the year. So I missed a couple of days and got third in the championship, and then midway through that year was when Fabio pulled us aside and said, we've got to do this West next year.
That's how it all, that's
18 was your first round of West?
Yeah.
Yeah, because that was the first round of it. All right. So you'd gone 2 years in classic enduro.
Yeah.
Which so, you'd only just
so learned. Had you, because obviously you're signed for 2 years in 15, so 16, 17. And then midway through 17, you got told, like, this is KTM's direction. But had you already signed at this point?
Or? No.
Oh, so you signed your life away. You're back on your own doing.
Yeah. It was all my fault. It was all my fault. But, you know.
You're saying it like you didn't enjoy Extreme Knife.
He come around in the end.
So you'd only literally just, like, started learning classic and then you'd thrown into to Wes. But the first year of Wes wasn't a full hard enduro series, was it? There was a couple that were, like, up your street. Did you win Hoxton? Was that one of them?
Was Knockout? Yeah, Knockout was 18. I won the
knockout.
Yeah, I might Hoxton as well, yeah.
No, you weren't very good at Hoxton. Because I was ahead of you for most of it.
I thought he was flying at Hoxton.
No, that was the next year.
That was the second year.
The first day he was shit. He was.
Did you get third? No, I got second.
I was third, Garcia. Garcia won, I'm sure. And I'm sure I was ahead of you for about an hour.
What else did we have that year? Yeah, that's right.
Gotland.
Oh my god.
Gotland was fun race.
Yeah, Gotland, Romania, Erzberg.
Megawatt
was, to be fair,
jumped the start there.
He's
good at that.
He jumped the start most of the races that he did.
That's one thing I was good at.
Yeah.
Flag start, I just went.
To be fair, that first year, there wasn't that bad.
No. It was just Romaniacs, that first experience when you did it.
Yeah.
What?
Erzberg.
So, yeah. 18. Ligares was your first one.
Ligares was the first one.
That was it.
That, yeah, that just set the extreme off. Yeah.
So Ligares was was that the year that Matey?
That was the year I won.
Yeah, but didn't, was it, who jumped into the river and
Colton.
Colton, was that the same year?
Yeah, same year.
Yeah, that was real slippy, wasn't it?
It was there's the classic waterfall at Ligares where there's 10,000 crash videos on.
Nathan just
has the most picture perfect crash, like the same crash you've seen the 1,000 times.
That big slab.
Out the splash, up the slab, turns to the side, all the way back down.
On my back in the river.
That's like 10 minutes into the to start.
So,
not
so
even.
From 2017 to 18, winter training, did you spend, because I remember you came here quite a bit, you rode trials.
Yeah.
And then just, I'm guessing he took you to Calm God countless times.
Yes. Painful days. Because Fabio, like when I signed for it, Fabio said, yeah, it's going to be like a couple of extreme races, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I want to stay with Factory KTM. Stuff it, I'll do it.
Yeah.
Like, because Garcia and everyone was doing it. So yeah, it'd be a good experience. And I actually thought before we did any extreme races, I thought, I'm quite tall, I can ride a trials bike, not good, but I can get up stuff. I thought, I'll be all right at this extreme. Jesus Christ, so, little did I know.
We had Ligares. Where did, do you know your positions at any of these? I'm guessing not.
Ligares, I didn't finish the first time.
And then it was Ligares. Then the next, did we go straight at Le Tref?
Ligares.
Can I pull up the calendar?
Yeah.
I'm sure we had a really busy.
No, it went from Erzberg to Le Tref.
Yeah, it was Ligares and then a bit of a break, then Erzberg. Next day we flew to Le Tref because we missed the first day of walking tests because...
Yeah, that's right.
We were coming straight from Erzberg and everyone was...
Round one, Extreme Ligares. Hang on.
No, it was one before Erzberg.
I feel like I'm missing one out.
Yeah, that's right.
Sorry, 2018. Right. Round one, Extreme Ligares. Round two, Erzberg.
Yeah, then Le Tref.
Well, let's do Erzberg because I remember you told me a story when you got back that you just sat with your helmet off in Carl's Diner.
Yeah. That was a real hot year, wasn't it? First year.
18 was the year me and Manny were leading and it all went wrong.
Yeah, when you...
When we started helping each other. Nah, that was 19. The year me and Manny helped each other and we went from being about 10 minutes in the lead to about 20 minutes behind on the fucking green L. Is that the year? There's a picture of you with your bike in the hole. You've got hold of the back wheel.
It must be.
Good deal. So...
To be fair, Erzberg's not that bad, like looking back, because you've got 4 hours and that's it.
And you never,
you can't get stuck.
You're not going to die at Erzberg.
Yeah, there's always someone watching you.
Well, so, but when you first went, you must have gone, fucking hell, what am I doing? Yeah.
It was scary.
Where did you come at the prologue at Erzberg that year? Do you remember?
I think the first year we didn't do that good. I think I got like sixth or seventh. And then the second year I got second.
Garcia won the second. Garcia.
Colton won it the first year.
Ah, yeah, that's right. That's right.
And then that local guy on the big 500.
Ozzy Risinger.
Yeah.
So then,
but that's when Cody smashed himself up on the on the prologue.
Oh, it's given results here, actually.
I can't remember Cody smashing himself up on the prologue.
He hit a rock and that was him out, and then he was commentating.
I can't remember.
He hit
that.
A rock, yeah. I'm sure.
This is given the 2018 top three. So Extreme Ligares, Billy Bolt, Johnny Walker, Manuel, Letton Bickler.
You won't find me anywhere near that top three.
Le Tref, where did you come?
Round two.
The first year.
Round three.
The first year, the Frenchies still won, didn't
they? Yeah, the first year we got smoked, to be fair. I think I got sixth or seventh again there.
Let me have a look. Full results. You got seventh.
Seventh,
who won that one?
Did Larry win it that year?
Yeah.
Yeah, Larry won. On 250.
It was dry that year, I think.
Yeah.
Was you out by this time, Bill? Oh, no.
No, my bike...
38.
My bike died in one of the tests on the last day. I was actually, that year, doing all right. I think I was 12th or 13th going into the last day. There'd be the second or third last test, my inline fuel filter was blocked. And I pushed it over the line, lost like 2 or 3 minutes in one test.
Yeah, I remember that. Right. Still remember, it's like up a hill.
Yeah. And everyone's fucking right stood at the end. There's a video I like. It's at the bottom of a field and then right by a hedge, and the ground just drops off into this hedge, and my back end like slides off it, and I'm like 50-50 grinding along it. Get myself back in the field, like 250 meters from the end of the test, and my back just goes boom, dead.
What, did you sink it?
No, I don't even know. Like I was just grinding along this thing and I just died, and then got to the end of the test, and obviously in the test when you're like rushing around, like fucking didn't get it going. Pushed it to the end, and then they said, oh, take the fuel filter out and see if it's blocked or whatever, and whether it was shit in the fuel or just the way that I'd been kind of grinding it, it sucked air. I don't know how the fuck it worked, but pulled it out, and then it kept us going again. So that result is actually not valid, because I was doing all right that week. The second day we went to Le Tref, I was shit. My head fell off on the second or the third day. And
it got pissed angry. It down that year, didn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I punched a tree.
Well, after Le Tref, round three, it was your favourite, Nath. It was round four, Romaniacs.
That was the year you were there. That was when we turned up at the ski resort at 9:30 at night for the riders' briefing, and Nathan just turns up there.
Well, the whole thing, everyone's known I've done this race because we talked about it a few times, but the full experience was actually with you.
Yeah.
Turned up to the airport, the other side, said to Nath, how are you getting to the hotel? He went, I don't know.
Oh yeah, give me a lift, didn't you? Yeah. Give it to me, you.
At midnight. And then I seen you day one, and I've actually got it on a GoPro, riding that liaison stage. And it was about an hour, freezing cold.
Oh,
and didn't me and him were having a full chat on the GoPro cam. What the fuck are we doing?
It was so cold.
Yeah, the first day was bad. Oh. That was the same day your bike was in the tree.
That day, honestly, I just cannot explain to people the experience I had that day. It was mad. I actually seen the video because you videoed me coming into the pits at 9:00, and when you tagged me in this 2 Pro one slow thing, it was the story above, yeah. And I clicked on it, and I was just like, wow.
How did the memories come flooding back?
Yeah. Go on, give us a bit of a run through of your experience there.
So, obviously, we start with that flipping thing in the city, that prologue.
You boys actually had to test that the night before when it was pissing down.
That was 2018. I was good that, yeah, I lapped a second.
Yeah, you was ridiculous.
Yeah, I remember watching the...
18, sorry, not 17.
The pre-night when the pros test everything in the rain.
Yeah, right.
You was in that, weren't you? Yeah.
I did one lap and I thought, that'll do me. I could only just get around.
Yeah, but then they made it a lot easier the next day because fucking everyone was going, this is too hard.
Yeah. It was so hard. Well, for me it was. And then, yeah, we had to do that. What was it, like a 10-minute race or something? Or a 5-minute race?
No, 15 to do it. They've started to make it shorter because everyone's like, you don't need to make a super enduro race. Or like, that's not even super enduro. That's fucking arena trials race this long. People are fucking passing out at the end of it. So
yeah.
I think they've shortened it to 8 or 9 now, but that time it was 15 minutes.
I remember you had your camelback on. Yeah. I thought, what's he having a camelback on for a 15-minute race? I thought, he's mad. And then after like 5 minutes, I was absolutely blowing.
Yeah.
It was so hard.
Top tip, I always put it on, and then everyone's like, what you got that on for? But I remember my first year doing it, it was really hot that year, and I was like second for most of it, like first year doing enduro, thinking, oh, fucking, I'm in second year, I'm the bollocks, and then just died. Like, I finished.
In the prologue?
Yeah, my tongue was sticking to the top of my mouth, and at the finish line, they like funnel everyone into the end, and there's just like bikes everywhere and fumes, and I was literally just like passing out. I remember I literally just fell onto Jimmy Nichols. He was there. I just fell onto him and he just like dragged us off my bike and like laid us on the floor and started fanning us, and he kept hold of my bike when I was just like, oh my God. So anyway, sorry to interrupt. We'll cut back to Nathan Watson's World Bull Romaniacs experience 2018.
Well, he would have then got up at the crack of dawn.
Yeah. I think we used to get up at like 4?
Four-ish. Race would start.
Yeah.
Six,
do you know what annoyed
six.
Me on the very first day? I got up at 4 because I did semi all right in that prologue thing, and then I had to drive an hour down the road before the race started on my bike, and you fuckers in your factory vans just going past me.
Yeah.
I'm wet already.
Yeah, because it rained, didn't it? It was raining all night. That first day was horrendous.
Do you remember there was that bridge what Taddy fell off on right at the start?
across like a puddle.
That was a minute in.
That was about all I can remember from the, well, obviously the end of it, but I can't really remember where the track went. I know it went far away because we ended up at the ski resort.
Stranger.
Any notable events happen on the day, or was it just a blur of?
No, you said his bike was up in a fucking tree.
So yeah,
how did it end up in a tree? Dare I ask?
He broke the golden rule: don't go off the track.
Yeah, I remember like there was a veer off like a junction, gold up there. I was like, yeah, sound. Here we go.
whenever you're doing Romaniacs and you see an A4 laminated A4 bit of paper with a G on it by itself, you just think, help, please, God, not another one.
But this was after we'd met up.
Yeah.
And did we have like a time check? You had to wait and go through on your minute or something, didn't we?
Yeah.
I think you gave me a snack or something, because I didn't have no snacks.
Yeah, there was quite a long liaison that first day. It was like a cobbly, rocky road. Yeah,
And then we got there 5 to 6 minutes early.
Yeah.
And then sat having a chat, shivering.
I don't think I had a jacket or nothing, and it was so cold and wet, and we were just like, what are we doing? This is horrendous. Already been pushing the bike all day, knackered, 3 more days to go, loving life. And then, yeah, it was like kind of midday towards the end of the day, and there was this junction, went up this side of this mountain, up into the mist.
Normally when you say you went off the side of a mountain, like you're lodging it big time, but Romania is the one country where like, no, you're like... You'll turn left, you'll follow a ridge, and you'll just be thinking, what am I doing on a motorbike up here? Like, it's a mountain. I can't stress that enough. Like, they're mountains.
No matter what you say, you can't actually explain how bad it is. Like, no one will believe you unless they do it.
No.
And there was this massive fallen down tree. Like, so the path was up here, and then there was a fallen down tree on the camber, but it was, like, big. And I thought, how am I going to get over this? Because I couldn't ride. Because it was just like, because I was at the back as well, because I was at the back of the gold, there was literally nobody behind me. Nobody. So I was the last one. So that was stressful, because I thought, if I fall off or do something, no one's going to find me.
No, you've got your little, you had your little mirror and
your survival kit, your flare and all that. So by the time I got to it, it was covered in mud and all the bark had come off it. So it was just like polished. So I had a go at it and just went on to it and just slid off it straight down. So it kind of went to the edge of the track and stopped. So I slid off it straight down the mountain, but it was so steep, you know, I was out of control and going down, crashed. And then I looked up and I thought, it's that steep. I can't push my bike up. I can't ride it up. It's that steep. It's impossible for me to go up. So I was like looking down, seeing if I could find a path. Nothing. I thought, I'm just going to have to go down. Just going to have to go down the mountain, try and find the bronze route or something. Very silly idea. Very silly. I should have just stayed there.
I know a bronze rider. I might have been iron, who said, he's just riding along this dirt road, this forest road at the bottom of the valley. Looks up, and Nathan's just wandering around with his two GPSs in his hand and no bike. And Nathan's just walking the opposite direction towards him. And he said, "You all right?" And Nathan went, "Yeah." He said, "Where's your bike?" He went up there.
Up the tree there.
Was it literally stuck in a tree?
Yeah, so I started to go down this mountain because obviously I knew it junctioned off, so I thought, surely if I go down, I'll find the bronze or whatever. So I was going down, and it was so steep, like ridiculous. You couldn't ride. So I'd like get to this vert point, get off my bike, hold it by the back mudguard, like I'd be sat on the floor, it's that steep, and just let go of the bike and it just cartwheel down. It was mental. And then it would just stop somewhere, and then I'd like slide down, climb my way down to it, do the same thing again, ride a little bit more, let go of it. At one point I got stuck in this hole, like a valley, and there was a big tree and I couldn't get out. And I really started to panic because everyone was on about bears and I couldn't hear bikes, I couldn't see nothing. And I was just in the middle of this forest on this mountain. And I started to leave the bike, started to walk. And I thought, I can't leave the bike. So I went back to it, managed to get it out of this hole, went down and started to be able to see bikes, like right down in the distance at the bottom of this mountain. I could see bikes and I thought, yes.
I'm alive.
I've made it. But there was a complete vertical, massive drop. Must have been like, I don't know, must have been 40 metres something, 50 metres. It was ridiculous. So I could see, I could like walk all the way around and get down, but I couldn't take the bike, so I just let the bike go. And that's when it got stuck on the tree. So there's a tree and it got stuck between the front wheel and the frame, like wedged in there.
Obviously flat in the front part.
Oh, the bike was destroyed, like bent subframe bars, because it had just been cartwheeling. So just left the bike. I seen where the bike was, managed to climb away down. Like, it was real sketchy. Like, I had to like cling onto trees and it was mental. I can't explain how bad it was. Got to this road and I was like, yes. Just started walking back. This mate, he pulls up, because it was real hard for like the bronze and that day because of the rain. This mate pulls up, English lad, he goes, Nath, I'm so tired. What are you doing? Like,
asking you for help.
Yeah, asking me for help. I said, my bike's stuck in this tree over here. He was like, yeah, just a normal day of Romaniacs. He said, I'm so tired. I said, can I have a lift? Can I have a lift to the checkpoint or whatever? He was like, I can't ride. You ride my bike, I'll get on the bike. So get on this random bloke's bike and he jumps on the back of me. True story. Starts riding down the bronze path, and then we got to like a queue because it was so difficult. We got to a queue. So he gets chatting to these lads. And this one guy goes, so told him the story of my bike, and he goes, oh, I've got a tow rope, I've got all this stuff to, you know, to rescue bikes. Should we go back? Because we can't go anywhere. Should we go back and try and get it out? I was like, yeah, we can do. So about, I think there was three or four of us went back. Like, I showed them the bike and they couldn't believe where it was. Spent hours like climbing up with, like, winched it off a tree. So tied the rope around the wheel, winched it off another tree, like winched it down. And anyway, got it to the bottom, picked it up, just touched the electric start, went brr, rum, rum, like first kick sort of thing.
So from when you first arrived at this big log, falling down tree thinking, oh, this is going to be difficult, to the point where you actually started riding the bike again, how long, much time do you reckon you spent?
I reckon must have been 2 hours.
And then from there to get back to the finish, because obviously I guess from that point you just went on like the time bar on the road. Or
yeah,
because like
we all got like...
Well, they changed the rules because everyone got time barred.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Even I got time barred on the first day.
Yeah. You only had to get to the second checkpoint to be classed as a finisher, didn't you?
Yeah, I got more. You had to get to checkpoint 12.
No, they changed it to like the second checkpoint.
No, they didn't. I got to 12. I got to 15 and got time barred. Then they pulled it back to 12 and I'd done.
Okay. But anyway, so you went on the road.
Yeah.
And then that was still a fair journey.
I did an hour and a half on the road. Remember, an hour and a half. We had to stop for fuel. I don't know how we got fuel. I don't know if they had organised.
It's normally the fuel's on route, isn't it?
Yeah, it's in little bottles, isn't it?
They stopped at a normal petrol station.
Yeah, we stopped at a petrol station. We just so we left the track onto the road, and matey had it on his sat nav. He said, it's an hour and a half on the road.
So anyway, I remember it was quarter past nine. You turned up at the paddock. Yeah. We were all waiting to go to the riders' briefing.
At nine, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it was 9:30.
Around.
I'd went to the paddock to fill my Camelback bladders up, my U3 bladders up, and we were walking down, and someone said, "Oh, Nathan's still not back yet." I was on the phone. I was on FaceTime to Stan, because I was walking from the hotel to the paddock scene. Is Nathan in yet? And he said, no, he's still not back. And as I'm on FaceTime walking down, you turned up. So I fucking sprinted down the road.
Seeing
this fucking bike just bent in every single which direction. Nathan just looking absolutely dead, but he just had this massive fucking grin on his face. Just like, what are you smiling at?
The best bit is, you had to go to bed and get up again in about four hours.
Yeah, yeah, I had to sort myself
so
out.
That was
food.
Just nine, you arrived back and you started at 6:30.
Yeah.
That day.
Yeah. And then I had to do this for another 3 days.
And then you had to wake up at 4:00 the next morning and go again.
Yeah. And it didn't get no easier.
Was that the same year you and Garcia were together? Yeah, because the next year was the last day we rode together. Him and Garcia were sat in the middle of the mountain on the last day when we were all in the finish waiting for them to come back, and they're FaceTiming and we're going, we're stuck, we're never getting out of here. Like,
It was quite good because Garcia was like in the same position as me. Like we weren't going to get a good result. We just needed to try and finish. So we was just like, we'll just ride around together.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Just having a crack. And I could, you know, we get to some hard points and we kind of get split up a little bit. Like sometimes I'd get in front of him, but we'd wait. And I could just always hear him in the distance, just in the mountains, because he just used to hold it on the limiter when he got
his little legs. He just keeps them straight and just bounces up and down like this, flat out. I could just picture it too.
I think we only finished 2 of the 4 days on. In the time,
yeah,
but I think it counted as
that was hard. That year was because I think that they made the finish position, like where you had to arrive to finish of each day, pretty shorter each day, because that year was really difficult. That was the most difficult year I'd done.
I got in his way on the very last day.
Who got it?
No, Billy's.
How did you?
Yeah, I've done the same thing. Where you don't see anyone, and obviously as the week goes on, then people are getting knocked out. The last day, I'd done the same thing, riding around like I'm on my own here. Like for fucking hours, I'm on my own.
Yeah,
get stuck, and I just hear this bike at the bottom of a hill just fucking, and I'm like, oh, I'm in the way. And then I just see a flash of white and think, oh, fuck, I'm in the way. And then it's him, and then he clocks me as he's passed me, starts shouting at me.
And was then, that the year when you...
Yeah, same year, I've only done it once.
The backflip or the finish.
Yeah, the finish.
Well, then he goes to me. We then got to a liaison point there, and he went, oh, we're nearly there now. Not long. So he obviously fucking set off on his way.
Them last fields. When you get to them last fields, you just know.
As every day I saw a Red Bull arch, I was like, thank fuck for that.
Yeah.
It's hard. That year especially was hard. And especially then you didn't know what you were doing, bless you.
No. And then I looped it out up the final hill, and then it got used on every single advert for the following
year. You did well with that one. Yeah, you did really well with that one, Edward.
Yeah.
But then... I bet at that point you had no idea that you were still going to be in contention to be on the podium of the championship that year.
Yeah, because it was all these extreme events first, I thought.
That was round four, wasn't it? Yeah, round four, so five was.
So after four rounds, I'd had one all right result.
Yeah, it was seventh as well, it wasn't. Yeah, oh, no, that was the year the championship had their mad points system, like 500 for winning, wasn't it?
So yeah. Five was mega what?
Yeah,
That was good.
That was a good event. It's a shame that they don't have it anymore, because every year I went there, it was good.
I rode a 350 there, and there was a few hard bits, but I just kind of got the whole shot.
That motocross track thing that they made for the qualifying was so good. It was just like, it's weird. It's like a little bit thicker than sand, but it's pretty much sand, and then they just dozer in this like 11-minute long motocross track, unreal. Which is just so fucking
this
good.
This is the year Johnny spanned himself.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So
he was leading.
Big crash.
Massive crash. Mm, yeah.
Broke both wrists.
Yeah, very big.
So you won megawatt.
No. Wade Young, Taddy Bluesjack, Billy Bolt.
Oh, did you?
He was fifth.
Me?
I thought you were.
I didn't win it. Fucking hell. Remember the finish over all them rocks and that?
Yeah.
But I rode a 350 there.
Yeah, I rode a 352.
I didn't like the two stroke. Garcia rode a two stroke and I beat him. He got seventh.
Well, then we went round six and you're on the podium.
Where was that?
Hoxton,
yeah.
Garcia, Watson, Bolt. So you were right earlier.
He was shy at Hoxton, to be fair. The next year, Hoxton, I didn't race the next year, but he was actually very good the next year. And what was after Hoxton?
Gotland.
Oh,
none of you on the box there.
Fucking hell, no one's ever going to be on the box at that race, especially how unprepared we turned up for that.
13th for you, Billy, 15th for you, Nathan.
That was one of the most unenjoyable races I've ever done.
It's the coldest I've ever been in my life.
Worse than Romaniacs? It's
in different, a different way. Yeah,
it was pissing down, wasn't it?
It was just
a puddle the whole way around.
It was
for 3 hours.
Freezing. Like, and well, I don't know about you, but I was so unprepared. Like, I had no thermals, no waterproof jacket, no winter gloves. Like, no, I didn't even have a coat on. And you set off as a mass start, like 200 people together, going, hit this first puddle. The splash hit us, and I'm not kidding, my arms just fucking froze. I'm like, whoa, I can't even move my hands anymore, this water's so cold. Crashed on the second corner, bike got rolled over by about 100 people, got up again, crashed about three corners later, smashed my throttle tube off. I had about, the throttle tube had about this much on for the whole of the first lap, which was 25 minutes long. So I couldn't use my front brake because I'm having to death grip my throttle because it's so fucking stiff. And come in after end of the first lap, put a new throttle tube on, and then from the second half, like from the first lap onwards, I actually somewhat enjoyed it until the point where, like, the last two laps, I was like, I'm too cold now. You have no brakes whatsoever after about
half. We had a few battles, didn't we? You'd pass me and crash, and I'd pass him, and then
I'd like to go back and be a bit more prepared and do it again, to be fair.
Remember, Taddy did really good there. He beat us all. He got like top 10. Yeah,
7th or 8th.
Remember being in the camper afterwards, how cold we were? Like,
yeah, I remember. I was trying to get changed.
Taddy got 4th.
A 4th, was he? Yeah, that's fucking really good.
Yeah, that's good.
I was like, I'd like take a layer of clothing off, and then my body would just like automatically go into like a ball, and I'd curl up, and I couldn't straighten any of my limbs. And then I was in the garage of the truck, splashing the hot water on myself.
It'd be like burning, wouldn't it?
And I'm just like,
cold pains.
Got the hot water and splashing myself like this, trying to just like actually get my limbs straight enough to take my clothes off. It was fucking mad.
That was one of the worst years. Like, when you speak to the Swedish, they say that was one of the worst years weather-wise.
It was quite late on in the year as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was October, I think.
But it was November. Dusty 2 days before for the amateur race. The amateur race was the driest race ever.
Yeah, and then it pissed.
And then just monsoon.
But it was good after that.
It's on like an island. Do you know what Gotland is?
I've not been, no.
It's just this tiny little island. It's even smaller than the Isle of Man. This whole island shuts down for this.
Did we fly straight to it, or did we have to get like a transfer?
No, we got a transfer. We flew with Graham, I think.
That was the year we was traveling. Yeah,
we used to travel with Graham a bit
before Megawatt, when we was me and him in the higher car.
Provide some great entertainment in higher cars. We'd just be driving, he'd be silent for fucking 2 hours and just come out with the most bizarre just fucking question.
Questions. And
that's a shame you weren't vlogging back then.
That would have been content. Good.
It would have actually been really good.
He used to like to rally the higher car, remember?
Yeah, Graham was just send it. At Megawatt, I used to get every year I went to Megawatt with him. I think I shared Iacon. He used to get proper excited.
I'm surprised he made it out, because he pulled out of Romaniacs that year and he looked finished. He was ice white.
Yeah. Remember that, yeah.
That was
was that 18?
Yeah, 18.
Yeah, that was 18, yeah.
Because I thought you were going to pull out. When I got to the service on the first day, someone said you were out.
That was the year my knee kept locking.
Oh, not when your engine kept... You kept changing engines or something.
Possibly the same.
I remember they're like, we just had to change Billy's engine.
Quick top end at the service point. My knee kept locking and I had surgery just after on my meniscus.
Right. Well, that was the final round then, was the Megawatt, which you won that.
No, the knockout.
Sorry.
So was Gotland. No, there was not another race.
No, round eight. Round eight, Red Bull knockout. Nathan Watson, Glenn Cordenhoff, Yentl Martins. Billy Bolt, 14th.
Is that what it was?
Sorry, 12, I think.
I was going to say, I thought I was 12.
Yeah, that was mega.
12, yeah, sorry.
No, I was buzzing.
And then overall, you was third in the championship.
From that last knockout race. Yeah, I went into it like fifth or something.
Yeah, because Garcia still had a chance of winning going into knockout.
Yeah.
And then he ended up not on the podium
at all.
He rode
horrendously.
14, sorry, around there.
But yeah, I remember being ill. Remember when we went to Bergen the week before or something?
You didn't ride.
I didn't even ride or nothing. I was proper ill. And
Tom,
I thought...
We went to Bergen. Tom Vial was there having a test for Factory KTM.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Before he'd signed.
Really?
Yeah. How was that for a throwback?
No, I did one. I did one lap. I remember.
That's gone well for him now, hasn't it?
Yeah, he's done all right.
Yeah.
I tell you what, that point scoring system was weird because Koldenhoff got second and finished 24th in the West Championship off doing one round.
It's yeah.
There's only probably there was 15 of us who did the full series.
Yeah, it's because they were trying to encourage people to do like a few rounds of the championship
and still have
and finish like 20. I think the points went to 50th.
Yeah.
It was, in some ways, I can understand the concept, but in reality, stuff like that's never really going to work, is it? When there's such big gaps from like first to second, yeah. It was hard work, really.
So you've done another year then in 19 of all of that?
Yeah.
So another round of
Romania.
So
had you signed for 2 years?
I signed for 2 years, yeah.
Oh, so at the end of 18, you were just thinking, fuck my life.
Yeah, but obviously after the last race...
It changed from West, didn't it?
No, it was 2 years of West.
Oh, was it 2 years of West?
Oh, but you did. That was the year you had your beach race run as well. So I guess that you were always still you were happy enough. You had your beach race bike, and then by the end of the year, we obviously all knew each other so well and stuff like that. And it was
just this is why I've got it wrong, because the second year round, you won at Hawkstone.
Yeah, but yeah, I kind of had a good contract, and I could do my beach racing in the winter and just do the West through the summer. Mm. So I'd like. Focus fully on the beach racing. That was like my main goal, and the odd race that I had to do good on. I had to do good on like Hawkston and stuff.
Oh, you had a few podiums here.
Yeah,
second at round six. It's slow.
Oh yes, Spanish. We did like a Spanish.
I didn't do that one.
Third at Letref.
I missed Hawkston and the Spanish one.
First at Hawkston.
Oh, were you only third at Letref? Was Jamie second?
Yeah.
That was a good year. No Frenchies on the podium at Letref.
First time ever. That was nice.
Everyone was spanned on the Tuesday night before the race.
Yeah, we went out the Tuesday night before. Me, Garcia, and Jamie were the last ones home. And ended up on the podium.
Them three on the podium. Brilliant.
Is that the year that you cut karate chopped your front mudguard off?
That was Romania.
That was
we rode together on the last half of the last day in Romania that year. And
you had a wrong moose in or something. You couldn't get up any hills or something.
Yeah, that's the story of my life. Most Romaniacs, but. For some reason, well, I was in like, I think I was fourth or fifth overall. Couldn't drop a position, couldn't really gain any positions. Typical last day, just sick of my life. Just get me to the finish line. Fucking Nathan overtakes us up a hill. Just fucking leaves us. I'm like, what is going on here?
I just had like the perfect setup or something for that, for them conditions that day. And there was all these steep hills, and I was just riding raining. Up them.
It's, yeah, because that's when there was that live TV camera hill which was just fucking mud. That was the same hill where you were stuck. So anyway, you overtook us up this one hill, come up to the next hill, and I could see him in the distance, and like you had to get pulled up the first half of it. It was a load of shit, really. It was like it was a stupid setup, but anyway, he got pulled up. I was just kind of sat there waiting, blah blah blah, and then he just didn't move, and I just kept working my way up to him. And I got to the point where I'd been stuck for like half an hour at this point.
It was
point.
Just a simple off camber, wasn't it?
And it was just this off camber.
Just lost my head.
You just literally. I got on his bike and rode it across for him.
I said, honestly. So it was like a zigzag and got to this just a little off camber, but if you slid off it, you slid back down.
Yeah, you went down like three levels.
And you had to do it all again.
And he just kept doing his fucking lap.
And I got so pissed off with it because I'd done all this hard stuff and I was like I was going quite good. I thought I'm going for a good result here, so I was proper actually
is this,
giving
is this
it a go.
The front fender got broke.
So he's crashed and he's
hit a tree, didn't I? And it
ploughed itself into this tree. He was doing basically laps of this bunch of trees because he kept sliding back down. And then one lap he just fucking chucked his bike,
just lost my head,
and the bike just ploughed itself headfirst into this tree and like folded his front mudguard in on itself. Mudguard's one side, front wheels the other side of this tree. He dragged it back out and it was like half snap but hanging in place.
Yeah.
And he just went, fuck off, and karate chopped it. Just like in full temper, like
big mistake that was.
No cognitive process whatsoever. Just fucking karate chops the thing. And I went, oh fucking hell, I've never seen him that angry before.
And then I said, Billy, can you just ride my bike so across this camber, please? So I just gave him my bike and he just jumps on it and rode it across for me.
Like just burp, burp. Anyway, so then we're together for a bit. Like, we were trying to cable tie. No, we cable tied your headlight on, didn't we? Because you had your transponder.
Yeah, that's right.
At that water point.
Yeah.
There's a. It was literally them same last fields, as always, like literally last 7 kilometers, fucking sixth gear wide open down these fields, like you're on a rally bike or something.
That's so the photo of you just
it was real wet.
This year, it only started raining on like the Saturday morning, so it was all just like flooded and like waterlogged these fields. And I'm quite good at, I like them last fields. And I just fucking pinned it, and you were near to the finish. Get to the liaison, wait. He turns up, and he's just fucking black. Like, it's just eyes and teeth, nothing else. And he's just going, regret snapping at my guard now.
Had you lobbed your goggles as well, obviously?
Yeah,
they were no good. No one's goggles were any good.
They were soaked, so they're like, if you put them on, they'd steam up. But I was like putting them on, trying to see. Because obviously the spray, I was just like blinking, couldn't see.
From them fields to the finish, he must have lost about 15 minutes because he was going that
the
slow.
The easiest part.
I got to the finish line, I'm like, I've been with Nathan all afternoon to everybody, so we all just sat there waiting for him.
And he's still not there, still not
15
there.
Minutes later, he turns up just fucking caked in mud.
And then we went to the after party and I was just like squinting, my eyes were bloodshot.
He lost his shoe that year.
Yeah.
If anyone comes across a shoe in Sibiu, black Air Max, Nathan's still missing one for 2019 Romaniacs after party.
Lost around that pool, wasn't it? I remember never walking to be back seen to the again. Hotel barefooted. Well, one foot, one shoe on. Good times.
In the championship, where did you end up in 19?
I think maybe fifth. Because there was a lot more like regulars. Like
nah, you were seventh.
Seventh.
Manny won.
Fifth, seventh.
Manny Gomez, Walker Bluesiak, Jarvis Garcia, Watson, Roman, Bolt.
Yeah, I missed Hawkston.
They've
and copped
you up here. They've put your first name as Watson and your last name is Nathan.
Oh dear!
Put a complaint in.
Are you dead gutted?
It's just throwing me off. I was reading all the last names, then thought
bloody hell, we're still not even up to recent times. So then
we've got so many stories from them West years.
Yeah,
oh
well, we could talk much longer about them 2 years, and then follow up from that, you decided to be a motocross rider again.
Yeah.
Oh no, you decided to be a beach race rider.
Because that was when COVID happened. I'd actually signed with KTM to continue for, what year would it have been?
2020,
yeah. I'd done a contract. No, I was already in a contract for that year. And Fabio says, I don't know if he said that we're stopping.
Yeah, no beach races. Oh, there's no budget for beach races
of course,
anymore.
Yeah. And that was like my main goal. So if I stayed with them, I had to just only do the West and the Extreme, so I thought I can't keep doing this.
Yeah.
So we ended the contract and then signed with that Honda team from August till August to just do beach races only. And then
There was no beach races.
There was no beach races because of COVID. They just kept saying, oh yeah, that the beach races are running. Then they cancel them. But Latuque's still running. So it was training all winter. Until January, and then they cancelled it in January. So,
and it's normally February, right?
First weekend of Feb.
Yeah.
So then they were like, okay, you've done no races for us. Let's go and, because I did a bit of motocross with them, we'll go and do the GPs, start the GPs. And I was like, I always wanted to go back and give it another go because I thought I never really gave it a proper go.
I would have missed a key event at the end of 19 there.
Nations,
yeah.
So that was still on KTM, wasn't it?
Yeah, I'd not done any motocross for years.
Who was on the team that year?
Sterry
and Simmo.
Yeah,
so,
that's right.
So Ben was supposed to be on it and got injured right at the end of the year. I think Max got injured. You know, we were just drafted in. We were just
yeah, but you done good, didn't you?
Yeah. So it was obviously at Assen.
Tommy actually suggested you, I think.
Did it?
I remember talking to him. Yeah. At the time, well, it was
probably because he didn't want to do it.
He didn't want to let anyone down. So he's like, oh, Nathan rides in sand all the time. He love it.
Yeah. And I'd never done the Nations. I'd done like obviously a few years motocross, and it was one event that I'd never done. So I always wanted to do it. So
pretty cool coming back from like 2 years of extreme enduro to that.
Yeah,
you podiumed, didn't
you?
Yeah, we podiumed. Yeah.
Clutch, your clutch went in the first race.
My bike broke the first race. I crashed. I was doing quite good. Was in the well in the top 10, crashed, popped my shoulder out, so I thought game over, popped back in. But then I crashed on the left side and my clutch like packed with sand, so it was constantly dragging. So obviously anyone who saw the race, the conditions, it was horrendous.
It was a grim weekend. Yeah.
So my bike stopped, and then in the second one I got a top 10, I think I got 7th or 8th or something. So. And then, yeah, ended up on the podium. That was, like, amazing. Like, because we didn't expect it. Coming into that last race, we was kind of...
Yeah, because well Paul Ann's bike blew up, didn't it, as well?
Ran out of fuel or something, with two laps to go. And I remember I finished first.
It was absolute carnage. I remember that last race of the day, I was just spectating the goggle in. Yeah. And it was just the drama. People, the rut, because you had, obviously, you can't... You've got, like, two lines or 2 points. And the rut where people were stopping and restarting from got to the point where it was like hitting their foot pegs, and they weren't like even Western. Going. They weren't even going forward anymore. And then the guy coming in behind them would just get filled in so bad.
Yeah.
And his fucking man friend that's holding his new set of goggles is just getting filled in. It was just pure fucking carnage.
Oh, it was horrendous.
It was down to tarmac.
Yeah.
In some of the ruts, like down to the
on the main track.
Yeah, on the main track. Yeah.
Remember, it was fucking awful. It was really, really horrible sat watching in the Monster Hospitality with the heating on and all the
no, drinks. We actually left for the last race and went watched it from the outside, I remember.
Yeah, but we spent all day sat in doors just looking out of a glass window going, fuck that.
Cold.
But I'd have preferred it dry, perfect condition sand. I'd have done better. I hate wet sand.
That track in a normal... on a normal day would have suited you pretty well, I think.
It's like quite beachy.
Proper sand.
Did on the Saturday of that race, didn't someone crash on the start and the bike fucking went into the crowd off the
world
second corner? Second corner it did, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you go off the start right, there's that then roller there's a left. On the inside, and it fucking went into like the grandstand area.
I don't remember that.
There was that big daft triple on a sand track, remember? Put a stupid triple in.
I can't remember. Yeah, I can't remember.
I was scared. Scared to jump it.
Yeah, well, no one was jumping it the next day, were they?
No. Single.
So, yeah.
And then you nearly killed Sean Simpson the Sunday evening.
Yeah.
No, that wasn't my fault. Anyway, moving on.
I'm pretty sure it was your fault.
It wasn't.
What did he do? Jump on your back and your bad leg just give way?
Well, no, I said, he was about to jump on my shoulders and I said, I've got a bad leg, I wouldn't. And then he jumped on and fell off at the same speed that he jumped on, banged his head.
Bless him.
And I have stitches, and he bless him.
Wild.
So then, we might as well go back beach racing then. So then you didn't. Yeah. You did do some beach racing, didn't you?
So
when it all got going again.
No.
Did you not do any?
I did full season 2018, full season 2019, and then.
Oh, they were the beach race days as well. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah.
Because you didn't win. Yeah, you won them.
Yeah.
That was one of me.
Nineteen. So from knockout 18 to Latuke 19 was when you were the boy.
Yeah.
That was your run.
That was my run. I 2 years. I won it the both years I did it. And yeah, won Latuke. That's one of my highlights, definitely.
That was another question, what's your highlights?
Yeah.
I reckon I was going to say that or the Nations would have been one of you.
Yeah. Nations, Latuke, like individually, Latuke. I was the first Brit to win it.
The whole winters. Oh, really? First Brit ever?
First Brit. Well, I'm still the only Brit to win it.
Really? I didn't know that. That's sick. But it's like a whole winter's worth of work to get to the 2K, right?
The first, there's six races in the championship, and the first five are just kind of like training for the 2K. No one really cares that much about them. Everyone's just, the main priority is the 2K. So
the 2K's mad, isn't it?
Oh, it's mental. It's mental. If you've never been to the 2K, you need to go.
Really?
Have you ever?
I've never been there.
You haven't been either. No, you was going to come.
That 19,
minute.
I was going to come.
It's massive.
Really?
It's massive.
But there's like the whole town from like 12 kilometres out gets shut off on the morning of the race. If you're not in like a 12 kilometre circumference that morning, you ain't getting to the race.
No way.
There's like 250,000 spectators. Just the beach is just full.
Wow.
Yeah. Britain don't quite... grasp, I don't feel like how big beach races are.
And slag off your favourite race.
No, I'm not saying it. As an event, I think in the UK, that's like one of the closest to kind of like that big atmosphere and that kind of feel at Western. But compared to like a knockout or a Latuke or whatever, it's the atmosphere is just like next level.
And it's a completely different race, like the sand at Latuke.
Yeah.
And Western's quite hard, isn't it? Would you like to do Latuke?
I would. 18. Oh, well, no, 19. I was going to do it.
I think I remember.
The year I broke my leg, because we'd done obviously knockout in 2018.
Yeah, the bike.
I had a proper bike for that. I'd been testing on it. I'd done Western, did knockout, was like, I actually really, really enjoyed both of them. And then I broke my leg in the first week of December that year. Otherwise, I was pretty keen to do it that year because Toff was obviously around quite a bit at that time. And Toff was like, need to come and do a little 2K. You need to come and do a little 2K.
Yeah, you're good in the sand.
No, you are good in the sand. I did really enjoy it. And then, like I said, I was 12th at knockout, which I was pretty, a little bit surprised at. Yeah. I did that well, but obviously.
Because all the beach race boys do that. Yeah, as well, obviously.
Plus you get like a calling off and a few of the motocross guys and stuff. And
Herlings did the...
Not that year.
Knockout
the
one.
The year before. He was injured, I think.
He wanted to do it, but I think he wasn't allowed.
They won't let him, luckily.
But it was... I remember from... I was still like... Obviously, I was happy with 12th, but I remember you and Koldenoff come out to lappers in their... Do you remember the rollers before the finish line jump?
Yeah.
Like,
against the prom on the right.
Yous were doubling them.
Yeah.
I would double the first one. There was maybe 15 or 16 of them. There was a lot of them. And I like double the first one and then just fucking wheelie and plod my way through thinking, God, this is difficult. And then...
Didn't they have a massive fucking wooden takeoff?
Yeah, well, it was just after. Like double things, and I'm like double the first one, thinking I'm the fucking bollocks here. Him and Koldenoff come past us together, and just went double. I must have doubled about seven or eight of them, and it was so beat up the track, and I was just like, wow. It was like middle of the race, just watching them going, wow, that's fucking sick. It was.
He was tank slapping your way down the straight, just trying to get to the finish.
Oh, how sketchy did the straight get? That the straight, there was none of the straight left because of the water.
The tide came in really high and like squeezed everyone up against. And we actually was going over the banking of the inside of the track.
Yeah, it was inside, like off the track because
the joke lane, it was like a joke lane, and we had to go like over the joke lane
just to try and stay out of the water.
Yeah, like that straight because Western straights all rock hard. Like there's a couple of lanes of Western which are pretty sandy, but the straight, like, you've got no problems with whatsoever. Oh my fucking god, knockout straight, fucking terrifying. And especially you have to do that hard left once for the Joker lane and then swing back out, so you've got people going in every direction. It's fucking whooped out the whole way down, and then you come into the first corner
like sixth gear flat out, and it's all braking bumps, and you're going so fast, it's so sketchy.
Yeah, going down the straight, thinking I'm not wasting a tear off on this straight line, but you're hitting that many bumps, you think I can't see fucking nothing. Yeah. Trying to just preserve your roll off pull until you're like mid first corner.
But Latuke is mental. I don't like it. Like, I do not like to race.
It's way more narrow than knockout.
It's way more narrow and way more fast. Like the first,
it looks pinned.
The first two laps is just mental because them French are just, they just risk their life
when they fucking follow it with a helicopter, and it's like
you're flat out on sand, and you just see a single coming up real fast, and you don't know if it's vert, not like, you know, not super steep, and they just hit them flat out, and you just float it for ages, and you're like, you've got a full tank.
Video of Chapelier from the start, like 2 years ago, is fucking nuts.
But you can lose so much time if you don't try and stay with them, that you kind of have to just
balls the wall too.
Yeah, you have to do it, and I hated it.
How quickly did you hit traffic?
Second lap. So you do one clean lap, and then you straight.
Majority of people are still stuck on the first fucking sand dune.
And then like third lap, it's rough.
Fuck.
Yeah.
But I prefer it. I just want it rough, and then it slows down, and then everyone's just burr, 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 and then it's like a slot half. Half the battle of the race is dodging people.
Mm.
Like,
just get out of the way.
You can't do a full race clean without twatting into a back marker. That's bad.
Iago Gertz wouldn't be much good at that then.
No.
After his
don't go there, Iago.
Last race.
Is he smashing into a few people? I haven't watched it.
He hit Vial, and that's what cost him the championship. Bounced into the back of him after his leading note.
Schoolboy error.
All right then. Well,
that's pretty much.
I was about to say. So you've had your MXGP didn't turn out to be as amazing as it seemed like it.
I was useless basically, and wasn't enjoying it. I didn't like the MXGP at all.
My team weren't happy.
So as soon as my contract was done, I was like, I'm done. I'm not doing no more races. And then I was without a deal.
I think the MXGP is tricky, isn't it? It's just fucking a lot of races, travelling.
It's a lot of work, innit? From the whole team and the rider. And if everybody's not like 100% in, it shows, you know what I mean? Like, you've got to have a good bike, good mechanic that wants to put the work in. You've got to put the work in, and like, unless it's everything.
You can't afford any blip or any injury.
Optimal, like, to even get points is difficult to.
And that was the thing. I'd worked harder than I'd ever worked. Like, I got myself a trainer for the first time ever because I was having this go at MSGP. I went all in, lived in Belgium with Ben, doing everything right, and I went slower. Yeah. So, like, I just thought, why? What's going off? And then that's when I was just over it.
I think it's all about having fun, isn't it? A good balance of
finding the balance.
The enduro side of is all seems like way more of a crack.
Yeah, so, yeah, I really enjoy it. But you know, everyone still puts the work in, works hard, trains, but you just
it's have just more of a in a different time. Way, isn't it? So so that was last year.
That was 2020. No, 21.
Yeah, 21. Yeah, it was 21. Last year because we came to watch Majoria.
Yeah,
Of last year, and then.
When my foot peg fell off.
Yeah, that's right.
Cheers.
And then, so then, anyway, for this year, you're back in Enduro GP.
Yeah.
Where I guess you probably feel most at home these days. And you seem like you're with, obviously, Red Motor, which is one of the, not a factory team, but it's pretty big team in the paddock and, like, has a good reputation as being a solid team in the paddock. And, like from the outside, it seems like everything's kind of found its way and it's looking good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So after that contract ended in August of 21, I was just working with my brother. I was fitting tiles just at home. Just like took a step back from riding because I was just over it. So stopped any riding for like 2 months, I think. And then the Red Moto boss, Matteo, called me and said, do you want to do these last two world rounds?
The last two rounds last year. Because of COVID. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The season was really late. So I just did two races for him. I was like, yeah, sound. Rode the bike like twice before. Just went for the crack. It was in Portugal. Went for a bit of a holiday. And really enjoyed it. Rode pretty good. And then, they just gave me a contract for this year.
So you're 1 year. Have you got one for next year yet?
But yeah, I've done a deal now with the same thing for next year. So yeah. But yeah, really enjoying it. Yeah. Feel like it's kind of suits my style of racing.
And what's the correct for the rest of this year then? You've got how many races left?
So I've got one Italian race left. I fly next Tuesday. And then 15th and 16th of October, I've got the last World Championship. And I'm second in E2.
And how many points back?
12.
It's on.
So there's 2 days, 20 points per day. So
is that... I know, because Verona's leading overall.
Yeah,
so Verona's leading. Third overall overall.
I think I'm fourth now. I think Garcia passed me at the last race.
Okay.
But class is kind of more important to me now. But yeah.
So you just got to beat him.
I've got to beat him, and I don't know what's the. It's just.
Who's,
you know,
is that Will who's leading?
Yeah, Will Ruprecht. Yeah, because Garcia crashed out. He's missed one race, so he's third. He's 9 points behind me, so yeah, I need to pull my finger out.
All systems go. Germany. It's actually. Right next to Getzen.
Like
the town next town next door to Getzen. Oh, you've done Getzen before as well.
Yeah.
Haven't you?
Oh yeah, I've done Getzen.
We forgot he did Getzen 19.
What, just for bands?
Well, no.
Was it part of the championship?
It was the last round in 19.
Yeah. But he had to finish top 20 to qualify.
He didn't qualify.
And I had the pit board to make sure I went inside the top 20 so I didn't have to do the last race. Because I had a beach race the next weekend and me and my mechanic, we just like loved beach racing. And I was leading the championship and he was like, just... finished 21st, so we don't need to do the main, because the main was real sketchy. Yeah, wasn't it? It was a harder loop.
Was really that. The year you came, it was the same. Like they reversed the direction, but it was stupid. It was the year everybody had to get catched up that one bit. Yeah. Where Manny gets his dad catches his leg.
Yeah,
and it was you and Manny or something for the championship, wasn't it?
No, because I'd missed two rounds for the championship. Manny had pretty much sorted the championship, I think.
But it was the last race.
Yeah, it was. I'd came back to do it.
Yeah, that's right. I went with Rob Dinan and we just went.
Yeah, you were just
correct for the.
Cause I so you finished 21st, but did they make you race it?
No, didn't have to race. So I could watch the main.
He was already on the
beers.
They
weren't bothered. Yeah, they just didn't care. It was
and that was your last one for KTM?
Yeah, that was my last. Yeah, that was my last hard enduro, I think, yeah.
Fuck. So there's no coming back for hard enduro. You're not fancying it.
Nah. Where to go?
Extreme Nif, rest in peace.
He's done.
But you know, like looking back, it was, you know, it was.
Yeah, good.
I think I learned a lot. Like I never give up on any of them, like Romaniacs and stuff. I never just chucked the towel and I just cracked on. And yeah, we had a good time, didn't we?
It was sick.
You're probably one of the only motocross or motorbike riders that's done a bit of everything.
Yeah.
You've done it all, really. You've had a go at everything.
Yeah. No, it's... I think it can't not benefit you, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, at the end of the whatever day. You're doing riding a bike, it's going to benefit you, isn't it? It's going to help me, hopefully, with my extreme, because we have some quite tricky extreme tests in the World Championship, so surely it will help me out.
You can always know at a hard extreme day, just think, this isn't the worst day I've ever had in my life. Like, you're never going to get to that fucking point. You know what I mean? And it's definitely benefited me and my ride and having you around, because I'd drag him to camp for a day, then we'd do 2 or 3 days around a motocross track, and honestly,
then you'd be hanging on trying to fuck.
Yeah, well, I'm barely hanging on, but it was definitely beneficial, and you know, so
did,
I actually
did. You listen to the last podcast we did?
Who was it with?
Stan? Tommy. Tommy said that he wants to.
He said he wants to do.
He wants
Romania.
To do Romaniacs.
Silver. I think you'd have to do bronze.
Well, anyone. He just said when he finishes racing, that's what he wants to do, because he likes riding bikes.
He'd come out with this by himself as well.
Go on, do it, Tommy. And then we'll speak about it after.
Right then, some finishing questions.
We haven't even needed the questions.
No, we'll
have to get him back to answer some questions.
Well, he's actually answered most of them. Everyone's asked the same thing. What's the best race you've done?
Yeah. We've kind of gone through it.
Yeah, why did the MXGP deals end? Here's one for you though. How serious do you take fishing?
Not very. I do enjoy fishing, but I don't go very often. No time.
Have you got any advice from a motocross rider moving to enduro?
Someone asked me that the other day, actually.
But
I'll see what he says.
Well, classic enduro, extreme, or just enduro in general?
Just
gonna have to learn to change tyres. Gonna have to pass your bike test. That's what the two things I like to quickly do.
Learn the highway code.
Yeah. You've just got to be a lot more smart, sort of thing. You've got to use your head more. Motocross is just go flat out, but there's a lot more that goes into enduro.
This is quite a fitting question, because it's this weekend. If you could change one rider for Team Great Britain, who would you choose? You're going to upset some people here. Say Tommy.
There's
the
absolutely
easy way out.
No chance. Tommy would be answering that question.
No, to be fair to Tommy, he's been on it, hasn't he? He deserves. If he's up for it, I think he'll ride good. He always goes good at the Nations.
Up for it. He's phoned me 3 times this week telling us he's going to hole shot and then fucking slap the fender over LaRocco's leap for a slap.
That's what we need, isn't it? No, I'd obviously put Ben in, and then gives me an excuse to go and watch it.
Who would you take out? Flip the coin.
To be honest, I've not really been following Dean or Max. Like, I haven't watched them. I don't know who's doing what.
But Max hasn't even been racing, especially, well, not definitely not on a 250, has he? He's only done like 2 rounds on a 450
and
even.
Dino's been injured,
I've seen him blitzing whoops yesterday or the day before, ready for Cardiff.
Training hard for Redbird.
Did you ever ride the desert in Mansfield?
Oh, yeah. Did many hours. It was actually a proper track at one point.
Yeah, they did. I remember
it. It was mega. You used to go there every weekend in the winter. Really good. And when before it was a track, when it was just like a wasteland.
You can both answer this. Who in any motorsport do you admire?
In any motorsport? Me, Jeffrey.
Yeah, he's the boy.
He's just the boy.
I hope he comes back and fucking still...
He will, definitely.
I hope so.
When you watch him in the sand and like you can relate to what he's doing, it's impressive.
It's when you watch him and he's just carrying that much momentum, he can't not start hitting these doubles, which people aren't like barely even getting over as singles.
They're jumping holes over
and
corners.
And you're just thinking like, well, it's obvious you're going to do that, the speed you're carrying, but how are you possibly carrying that much mental speed?
And the fitness impresses me, like, I don't get how they can go that fast for 30 minutes plus two at that pace.
Who's your man?
Either Travis Pastrana or Valentino Rossi.
Yeah, I was going to say Rossi.
Rossi's was like the first like bike rider that I was like admired, I would say, because obviously MotoGP was what I can first remember as a kid. And then that was at the time when like Rossi was on his the yellow Hondas and doing his finish line, finish line celebrations when someone would come on the track and he'd do his mad acting, like, just see the fan base he has is just insane. Like, rarely a day goes by where you don't see a 46 either on someone's cap or
the
on
doctor
the
on the back
of someone's car,
in the middle
like
of anywhere,
whatever country you are in the world, we'll be driving along the motorway and it'll just be a fucking 46 on the back of a car and just, there he is again. It's just, you can't fault that. So yeah, I'd say probably Valentino Rossi.
I went to his restaurant when we went to Sam Lowe's wedding. Fucking dear. Everything was 46 euro.
A bottle of water, 46 euro.
Fucking dear. You've done it all, but you haven't done GNCC. Would you like to do one?
Yeah. That's a bit of you, to be fair, I reckon.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I'd quite enjoy it. Like the 3-hour jobby from the beach racing, the experience from that, like pitting and stuff, and kind of a bit of technical stuff from injury. Yeah, I think I'd really enjoy it. But a lot of people like Garcia and Steve, who I've spoke to, who have gone and done it, said it's, you know, it's real fast.
Yeah,
I think. Like, and I think the pace is fast.
The tracks are pretty similar each year, and you kind of got to know which holes are big and which ones aren't.
So I think you've got to go there and not expect to just clean up. You've got to go there, do a year learning, and then give it a go. But apparently it's like a sprint from start to finish. But hopefully I'll get a chance to do one.
Yeah, I think that'd be good for you.
Just, even if I just do one, I'd like to do one.
Mm. Who'd you prefer, Billy, Tommy or Ed? That's Olivia Reynolds that asked that.
Can't answer that.
Just say Bill, you spent more time with him. Can we have your best party story?
What, from Enduro?
Oh, I guess from all of the careers.
Nah, the best one isn't from Enduro.
Oh, yeah. Nah, I can't say that.
Can you tell me where it's from?
Lituke. Okay. Is that the one you're thinking of?
If anyone caught him on a night out there.
No, but that was one good thing with the West. Like, there was a lot of after parties. That was fun.
Yeah, every race. Because it's a fucking surprise you make it to the finish.
Yeah, we're celebrating our life, weren't we, at the end of every race.
Yeah, we've survived another one, boys.
No, there's some good cracks. But yeah, we deserved it after them races.
Do you wish you stayed with MX?
No.
No, I didn't think you would.
No. Like, the more I go back and look back in it, no.
Yeah, because I guess you could probably say you'd maybe would think, like, what would have happened if I'd have stayed with Ante one more year, but then ultimately you'd have been in the same grind, which is not, you know, what...
Exactly.
Which isn't the same. Like, you went back there and you kind of weren't enjoying it, I guess so.
Yeah, and I've experienced so much, like, from switching over and...
Yeah, you just found your feet, haven't you?
Yeah.
Right, let's do the final question, then we can all upset a few people here. In your opinions, why is the MXGP lacking riders at the moment? It just seems sad not to see a full gate.
Yeah.
Entry fees.
Yeah, cost.
I would say. So just cost in general, yeah, I would have said. Not that I know much about it, but I think it's 1,500 euros an entry.
Yeah, something
for,
like that.
For MX2, or like, which is probably...
1,500 quid an entry, plus get there.
I could be wrong. Don't quote us on that, but that's what I heard, and I just thought, well, like, there's no dad going to afford for his kid to go and do, like, a couple of rounds. Say he turns 16, 17, you're like, oh, just let's just go and see how he fares on. Let's see if you get some results, maybe to get a ride for next year. Like, fucking hell, no one can justify 1,500 quid a round to just go and have a go. Do you know what I mean?
And if you turn up and you win it, you go home with zero.
Exactly.
Unless you're on, obviously, a factory team with bonuses, which is crazy.
I think it's 1,500 into enter, like, the EMX and all that shit, isn't it?
I think they've just dropped it for next year now, haven't they?
I know, you still got to pay.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's mental.
But the age limit as well, I think that's stupid. I think it should be the fastest man on a 250F.
Yeah, what difference?
50 or 20.
Yeah, what difference does it make about the age limit? It's the bike that they're riding, you know what I mean? Like, obviously.
That'd be an interesting game to see how many people decide that they want to ride a 250.
Yeah, it'd be mega.
It would create more rides in MX1. It would even itself out, I feel like.
And too many races. And too many races in stupid places.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, we're just shit
on their parade, haven't we?
Yeah, but it's true, isn't it? But no matter what you say, they're
we'll
not
be getting
arsed.
Escorted off the premises next weekend.
Don't go too hard. We've got to go to the MXGP race this weekend.
Can we have some tickets?
Publish this after next weekend.
Now, this is actually going to come out on, hopefully, if I can do it right, I might do it on the plane or try and do it so it comes out. But yeah, with me and Bill are off to Redbud. So anyone listening at Redbud needs to give us 2 VIP all-access passes.
Have you got passes yet?
No, nothing.
Just sending it.
Platinum would be nice. People, but we'll take the next one down. What's the next one down called?
No, we only want black. Okay, black
platinum
passes.
All right.
We're standing in the middle. I want to drop the gate.
I know for a fact you'll both flag your way into the best passes and you'll not pay a penny.
We'll try.
We'll have a good goal.
That hat on his head might help.
Yeah.
We'll have a very good goal.
So
I'm
yeah.
jealous, to be fair. It'll be a good trip.
Well, you'll be able to tune in and watch it all.
Yeah.
But don't skip any of the ads.
Tommy's championship t-shirts are coming out. Should we keep him happy?
Yeah, Tommy won the British Championship a week ago now. There was championship kecks that we still got, and we released some Tommy Sir 100 kecks, which we've still got some of, and he got some white t-shirts with a big gold number one on when he crossed the line, and he put his hand in his pocket and ordered some, and you'll be able to get some of them pretty soon, as well as your clothing.
Two new t-shirts and one new hoodie coming ASAP.
Tell them, because it's that hoodie you've got on.
No, I'm not telling them what it is yet.
Come on, man.
We're doing a Billy's World version 2.
Same, but blue.
Oh, I just give the whole thing away then.
I'm fucking G'ing them up, so I think I'm buying.
So the two t-shirts which you've seen in the last couple of vlogs, there was a lot of people message asking, saying they want to buy one, blah, blah, blah. So I wasn't going to release them, but we've decided to do a little quick release. So there's not as many as they normally would, so you've got to be really fast when it goes live. So keep an eye out across all my channels, and you won't be disappointed.
Anything else to add? Thanks for coming. Have you enjoyed it?
Thanks for having me. Yeah, it's been good. Good little
chat. We
need
to get your brother on again.
Good little catch up. Yeah. It'd be interesting to see what he's got to say about this season. With some nice stories, I think.
Yeah.
No, but I think it would be worth him coming on just to give his perspective, because it gets hard, and I can understand why, because I bet he feels like he's kind of not had support, so he's not kind of wanted to open up during the year. Like when he's got like another race to go and do the next weekend, the next weekend, the next weekend, you almost don't want to open yourself up to like admit. He probably won't mind saying that, like he's struggling or like he's not in a good place.
You just get these clowns slating him and on the
problem of what we said before we started this, me and Bill were saying, we find the benefit with the vlog or being active on social media. Don't ever hide from it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
tell them what's gone on.
But it's a bit different because we are so active anyway.
Mm.
Whereas if you're kind of coming on and it feel, I guess.
Tommy had it. Tommy used to hate Tommy writing race reports.
Yeah, exactly.
About
it was the same. But if you're coming on and you feel like it's negative, negative, bad, it like you feel like you're just making excuses the whole time, which, you know, isn't the case. But when it's like that, and like the one negative comment's going to outweigh the 100 positive ones, so I can understand why, you know, you feel like he's in that position. So I think for him to come on and just kind of not make excuses or slag anyone off, but just like explain how he felt and then what his plans are going forward, and because there's still going to be far more people want to get behind him than there's going to be pulling him down. So there's the platforms there for him to kind of
go and buy some of his merch. Is he still doing his merch? Did you do some merch with him, or is it just Ben?
Nah, just Ben.
Go and buy some, because it's probably still all on your kitchen table, isn't it?
Yeah, there's still boxes of it filling up my gym and my kit room, so get it bought.
Get Stan involved for a bulk buy, that'll be the easiest bit.
But I did say we should, because they just did it, they didn't even tell me. Like, I'm not into like that stuff anyway, but we should have done like a bit of a nines and ones or something.
Yeah.
So we could both sell it like together.
Yeah.
Just maybe sell a few more bits, maybe the odd bit.
Scratch one of the numbers off. I'm sure you can figure out a way to do a collab in.
Are we going to see you in winter? You came last winter and done some mini bike races and a bit of trials riding and fucking about.
Oh, yes. This is now with the Enduro, I've got like a proper kind of off season and
perfect.
Plenty of time at home.
So I'm pleased you have. You're not fancy, Super Enduro.
Oh, go on.
No. God, why not?
Get yourself entered.
I'd end up in hospital.
No, we've missed that day out as well. He came to the Super Enduro track one day.
Yeah.
And was that in Spain?
In Spain. And he made it. Was it you and Stan had a bet? I don't know if it got paid or anything, but if he could go through the matrix properly, so triple-double.
I'll do it.
Yeah, you did it in the end. No, I remember.
No, but that's even like super tests and stuff. I should do more.
Yeah, you are shit at super tests.
Get yourself entered for a ring cross. I think that's coming back on as well.
That crash in your last one.
Yeah, that was bad, but I did have tendonitis. Let me off. But yeah, I'll do more Super Enduro training with you.
All right.
Definitely. All right. I need to get better at that.
You can look forward to that. We're going to try and build a track. Bill's been saying it for a year, but...
But if we do build the track, it's probably going to go further away from being a Super Enduro track.
No, I think we've built it for...
More for some mad videos, mad content.
Just madness.
Oh, you want to build stunts?
Just a madness. Your trial sections soon a bit.
Rightio. All right, well, yeah. Thanks very much for listening. Tune in to... I don't know when it'll be or when the next one of these will be, but tune into the next one.
You and Tommy might as well do a post Nations one.
Yeah, tune into the vlogs from there. Are you doing a vlog?
Of course.
Can we? Do you want to help share a bit of footage if we get one of us gets a better shot, or is it fuck you all and selfish?
No, no, there's no selfishness goes on here.
Tommy, yeah, Tommy's a selfish man. Well, yeah, man.
Tommy just demands everything for himself and all of your attention all of the time.
He's just messaged me. He's obviously watched your vlog where you promote Squarespace again, and he's now messaged saying, "I want paying for helping you promote Squarespace."
I've seen the advert. I teed that up so well in the last podcast because I just started speaking to them like 2 days earlier. And the whole thing just come up. I said, oh, now's the chance to clip something up. And I was trying to get him to actually say the word Squarespace, but I'm happy with what we got in the end. No one's watched that vlog, by the way. If you want to go and watch what happens at the Red Bull APC, that'd be great because it's got no views at this moment in time. Thanks. Right. Bye.
Right, cheers. Thanks. See you in a bit.
Cheers.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.